When you hear somebody say, I promise, what does that make you think of? Well, it probably makes you think that this person is letting you know that they are going to do whatever it is that they said they were going to do. Often for me, when I hear that, I think about a child who says, hey, Dad, can we go get some ice cream? And maybe Dad says, well, we can't do it right now. We're pushed for time or whatever. And then there's the disappointment in the children. And they're like, oh, we wanted to go get ice cream. And Dad says, I'll take you later. I promise. Well, that's given them reassurance that what he has just told them is going to come to fruition. So today, we're actually going to be beginning a new series. I want to get you to grab your Bible and turn it on over to the passages of John chapter 14, and I'll see you in just a moment. Hey folks, welcome to the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. I trust and pray that your week has gone well and that you had a great day celebrating the 250th anniversary of our freedom here in America. Today, you know, I mentioned a moment ago about the fact of promises. And it's ironic that Jesus gave us many, many promises that we can cling to, many promises that we can just hold on to as we go forward in our walk with Him. And we're actually starting a new series today. I titled the series, The Hope of His Return, okay? Understanding the Second Coming of Christ. Those are some of the elements and the things that we want to see and to get established. Now, as we start off, there's something I want to point out that as we go through this series, often we will use the terms interchangeably. And you're sitting there thinking, well, what terms are you talking about? If I were to say to you, we're going to talk about the second coming, most of us in our minds are thinking about the rapture. That's when the trumpet sounds and time is no more and the dead in Christ rise first and the rest of us who are believers are caught up together to meet Him in the air. That's often what we refer to as the second coming. That's actually the rapture. The true second coming is at the end of the tribulation, you know, when the Lord actually comes and sets foot on earth. You'll notice that in the rapture, Jesus doesn't set foot on earth. He calls us out to be with Him. But yet, at the start of the millennial reign, we will come back with Him and He will set foot on this earth. So I want to go ahead and just get that clarified. I'm not one of those sticklers when it comes down to that, because most often we know what people are talking about when they say, I'm looking forward to the second coming. Often they're talking about the rapture when the Lord calls us out, and we're okay with that. But I did want to point that out as just a biblical fact, okay? So again, in our series, we're going to be looking to understand the second coming, and I am using that in pretty much the generic all-around way, whether it is the rapture or whether the beginning of the millennium. So one of the things that we want to look at that we can take note of in our lives is that Jesus gave us a promise of His return. So today, we're going to explore the promise that Jesus made to His disciples about His return. Now, this promise is a source of great hope and encouragement for everybody who has trusted Christ, for every believer out there. It's something that we cling to each and every day, or at least we should, as we go about our life here on earth, and as we eagerly await His coming back for us. So let's take a look at John chapter 14. We're going to deal with verses 1 to 3 to understand the significance of this promise. Now, many of you have heard this. This is a text that is very often used at funeral services because it gives hope in the midst of some tough times. It reiterates the promise that Jesus gave us about His return. So John chapter 14, we'll begin reading at verse 1, says this. It says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Will you pray with me? Our Father, as we come to you today, first of all, Lord, we thank you for Jesus, or we thank you for the promises. We thank you, Lord, for the fact that we are anxiously awaiting the time that you will call us out to be with you. Lord, I just pray that you will help us, and especially amidst the tough times of our journey on this earth, that we will draw strength from a promise that you gave us, the promise that you have prepared a place for us, the promise that we have a home, the promise that you will come again. So, Lord, I pray that your words would spring forth hope and life within each and every heart of each and every hearer. Lord, I pray that you would use me as your mouthpiece for these moments. Help us, Lord, to lift you up. Lord, help us to claim these promises. Help us, Lord, to be encouraged today. And we'll just praise you and thank you for it as we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, folks, so as we look at this particular passage, in this passage, Jesus is speaking to his disciples during the Last Supper. So I want you to kind of get that picture in your mind. Remember, the Last Supper was called the Last Supper for a reason. You know, Jesus knows that his time on earth is coming to an end. And what he's doing is he's in the process of preparing his disciples for his departure. Now, we know that because we've read the beginning, the middle, and the end. Jesus was often trying to prepare his disciples for the fact that he was not going to be with them, that he was going to be returning to the Father, was trying to give them all these instructions and directions, and the disciples just a lot of times just didn't get it. Now, don't be too hard on them because, you know, me and you are the same way. There's a lot of things that the Lord tells us, a lot of things that we know. We know them in our heads, but sometimes we have trouble letting them trickle down to our hearts and to believing them. So, as Jesus is having this conversation with his disciples, I can imagine their anxiety. I'm sure that there was anxiety, and they were troubled by the thought of the fact that Jesus was going to leave them, probably for a lot of reasons. But if you think about it, when you look at how the disciples were called to participate in Jesus' ministry, it wasn't a situation where they, you know, all of them just volunteered and said, "Hey, I'll go." But yet, the bottom line is, they left. They left positions. They left positions as fishermen. They left positions as doctors, and they were with Jesus full time in ministry. And now, all of a sudden, Jesus is saying, "Look, guys, I'm going to have to be leaving you all." And he's trying to get through their head, you know, the plan of redemption, the plan of salvation, the plan of the gospel message of his death, burial, and resurrection. So Jesus is assuring them with the promise of his return. Remember what we said a minute ago about promises? You know, I know that sometimes in the little illustration I gave in the opening, that promise meant a lot. You know, about the children and the ice cream, and all of a sudden Dad says, "Look, we can't go today, but I'll take you tomorrow, or I'll take you this weekend." And they're still a little bit disappointed, but they're like, "Okay, Dad's going to take us for ice cream." They don't have any doubt that's not going to happen because Dad, who is a man of his word, gave us his promise. So Jesus is giving us his promise. He's giving his disciples the promise of his return. So he begins by telling his disciples not to let their hearts be troubled. Now, I mentioned a little earlier that this is often a passage that's used during times of funeral services, and the reason why is because this is a time of great confusion for people. You know, even those who are strong, even those who have known and understood that maybe the death of a loved one was coming on. Listen, you can prepare for it all you want to. You are never prepared for it until it happens. Let's just say it that way. And you're not even prepared for it then. It still hits you like a ton of bricks. So, you know, Jesus is telling, you know, his disciples not to let their hearts be troubled. That's why pastors often at funerals will try to use this particular passage to say to those loved ones of the one who has passed away, don't let your heart be troubled. So Jesus, in this case, is urging them to trust in God and to trust in him. So he then speaks of his Father's house, all right? He begins to talk about it. He says, "In my Father's house are many mansions." Jesus is assuring his disciples that he is going to prepare a place for them in the Father's house. And he promises, get this, there's that word again, he promises that he will come again to receive them to himself so that they may be where he is. I don't know, maybe you've experienced this before in your life where you had children that were small and you had to go away. You had to travel or you had to be out of town for business or something. And you got that little one there that's wrapped around your leg and saying, you know, "Mommy or Daddy, please don't go. I don't want you to go. I want you to be here with me." And it breaks your heart. I mean, first of all, you don't want to go, but you know that duty calls and you have to go. So what do you do at that point? You begin to reassure that child. You're like, listen, honey, I've got to go for work, but I'll be back. It'll be real soon. You know, it'll be, you know, seven bedtimes before I get back. And you give them something to count down. You give them something to look forward to. But, you know, even though you feel bad as you walk away, you know, after you're gone, those are the things that they hold up. Sometimes they'll even ask, you know, the other parent, you know, they'll be like, well, how many more days is it before daddy comes home? How many more days is it before before mom comes home? So they're looking forward to it. You have given them a promise. And the reason you gave them that promise is because you wanted to reassure them that this was not the end. This was not a final goodbye. You're like, listen, I'm just going to be gone for a little while, and then I'll be back. And that's exactly what Jesus is doing with his disciples right here. He's giving them a promise. And then he's even saying, this is what I'm going to do. He says, in my Father's house are many mansions. Some of your translations may say many rooms. He says, if it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. He even told his disciples what he would be doing while he would be gone. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. I pray that that becomes tremendous comfort for you and I as believers today, that Jesus has gone to prepare a place for us, that where he is, there we may be also. And we should hold on and claim that promise of all of the goodness that God says he has in store for those who love him, for those who are his children. So the promise of Jesus' return is a central tenet of the Christian faith. I mean, that is one of the main stakes that we put in our following Jesus Christ, and that's the promise of his return. It reminds us that this world is not our final home, and that we have a glorious future that is awaiting us in eternity. I love, you know, how I'd heard it explained, I guess it was many, many years ago, by a fellow. I heard a preacher preaching one time, and he said, you know, he said, this earth is not our home. He said, we're just kind of passing through. He said, it's a lot like when you're not at your house, but you have to travel and you go to a hotel room. And I love what he said, because this is really what drove the point home for me. He said, you know, you could check in to that hotel room, and he said, you can look at it and you may not like it. He said, you can rearrange the furniture. Well, I guess back in that day, you probably could rearrange the furniture. Now they've got it all bolted down or nailed down. But at any rate, if it was possible, you could rearrange the paintings. You could turn the bed around. You could rearrange that room. You could rearrange that room any way you wanted to make you feel a little bit better about being there. But here's the bottom line, and this is what the old preacher said. He said, even though you rearrange that hotel room every way, shape, form, and fashion, it is still not home. And he said, that's what our journey on this earth is. He said, you know what? We might rearrange the furniture of life, but this is still not our home. Heaven is our destination. Heaven is our home. And we're in the life is the hotel room until we get there. So we need to remember that, you know, when Jesus was telling this to his disciples and he was giving them that promise, it reminds us that this world is not our final home. Listen, folks, I hope and pray that if you don't get anything else, you get that today. This is not our final home. We are living for something far better. We are living for the place that Christ has gone to prepare for us, that we might be able to be with him. And I love the fact that it's going to be mine. It's going to be personally mine. It's going to have my name on it. It's going to say Roy Carter, my room or mansion or house or however you want to state it. It's going to have my name. It's going to be for me. There's going to be a place at the table that's got a name card that's got my name on it. And boy, how refreshing is that? So Jesus' promise reminds us the world is not our final home, and that a glorious future awaits us in eternity. Not here, but in eternity. Now, Jesus' return signifies the fulfillment of God's plan of redemption and the ultimate victory over sin and over death. Because at that particular point, you know, we're bought with a price. When you trust in Jesus Christ, you know, the resurrection nailed it. Now, a lot of times people will sit back and say, I believe that Jesus died on a cross. Well, you know, there's a lot of people that die. There's something more significant about Jesus than the fact that he died on a cross for our sins. The main significance of it is he also rose again on the third day. That's what makes him different than any other great teacher or reformer or anybody else. Nobody else has conquered death, only Jesus. I like what I heard this past Easter when a guy was sitting back and he said, and I've said it myself, he said, you go to Muhammad's grave, you'll find Muhammad. You go to, you know, Buddha's grave, you'll find Buddha. You go to Jesus' grave, you will find nothing. And I can testify to that because I've been there. You know, a lot of people, and I even said this before, I said, if you go to Jesus' grave, what will you find? You'll find Joseph of Arimathea, because you got to remember, Joseph of Arimathea loaned Jesus the tomb. But that's not how history works either. You know, tombs were actually reused. We'll get into that on a different day and age. But I've been into the one where Jesus was, and let me assure you, it's empty. Jesus is not there. He is risen. Like the angel told Mary that Easter morning, he is not here. He is risen, just as he said that he would do. Okay, so Jesus gives us a promise of God's plan of redemption and the ultimate victory over sin and death. He conquered that at the resurrection. But boy, think about it. When he takes us to be with him, because we've trusted him, because we have received him as our Savior. See, it also serves, this promise also serves as a reminder of the importance of living in anticipation for his coming. You know, to be watchful and to be ready for his return. I want to ask you something, folks. Are we doing that? I think too many times we can get tunnel vision because of where we are. You know, God didn't anticipate us to be a part of this world. He said you have to live in the world, but you don't have to live of the world. So as I consider this, you know, too many times our vision is what I call horizontal. We're busy getting through the day. We're busy dotting the I's and crossing the T's. That's a horizontal vision. But the Lord wants us to have a vision that looks up, a vision that anticipates his return, a vision that says, look, someday I'm checking out of this hotel and I'm checking into my mansion and I'm excited about doing that. Now, I don't know about you, but anytime I have a chance to travel, it's always fun to go. I enjoy travel. I enjoy going. But let me tell you what else I enjoy. I enjoy coming home. I enjoy sleeping in my own bed. I enjoy being in my own house. And most of you can attest to that fact because you're the same way. Well, this life is not home. But as believers, the promise of Jesus' return should fill us with hope. It should fill us with joy. It should motivate us to live holy and righteous lives before all those that we come in contact with, knowing that we will one day be with him in eternity. That's that vertical view that we're talking about. Are we living for the here and now, or are we living for the hereafter after with him? We should eagerly await his return, longing to be in his presence and to dwell in the Father's house. That's going to be so cool. In the Father's house. Let us keep the promise of his return at the forefront of our minds and let it guide our thoughts and our words and our actions in all that we do. May we truly magnify him. Let me ask you a question. When you got up this morning, did you sit back and say, you know what? Today could be the day that the Lord calls us out of here. Today could be the day that I get to see my room in the Father's mansion. You know, I'm looking forward to it, and not with dread. Man, so many times we get so fixated on the world around us that we're living for the here and now rather than the hereafter after. Listen, it can happen at any moment. I trust that you are prepared for that. So as we look at our text today, the promise of Jesus' return is truly a beacon of hope. It should be a beacon of hope for all believers, and it should be something that reminds us of the glorious future that awaits each and every one of us in his presence. So may we hold tightly, and may we hold fast to this promise. May we be living in anticipation of his coming. And may we eagerly await the day when we will be with him forever. Are you excited about the coming of Christ, or are you just sitting there saying, well, I'm just going to chill out and, you know, que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be? Or are you sitting there looking, anxiously looking over the horizon? Are you living your life as if you are ready to meet him face to face this very day? I hope and trust and pray that you are. But man, what a great promise that he not only gave his disciples, there at the Last Supper, but what he gives you and I, man, that should give us, you know, the strength to be able to function on a daily basis. That's part of the reason that I write the strength for the journey post that I write each and every day, that we might pause and that we might look at those particular, and I'll call them snippets of God's word to remind us who we are, to remind us that we are his and he is ours, and that this world is not the end of it, and we're living for another day for eternity in the kingdom of heaven. And I hope and trust and pray that you will take God's word, that you will focus on it, that you will live your life in true anticipation that the promise of his return could be any moment right now. And thank God that he promised us. Just like the little child, you know what? They may not like the fact that they're not getting ice cream that night, but they know that daddy's going to take them. But why? Because he promised. And this today in John chapter 14 is a promise that Jesus gave his disciples, and he gives us of his coming back for us and preparing a place for us. I hope and trust and pray that you are ready and that you are prepared. Would you pray with me? Father, today as we come to you, we thank you for the promise of Jesus' return. Lord, help us to live in anticipation of his coming. Lord, I pray that you will help us to keep our hearts and our minds focused on the hope of eternity with him. And hope, not the kind of hope that says, well, I hope and I think that this might happen, but the hope that it is going to happen. May our hearts and our minds be focused upon eternity with him. And Lord, may we be watchful and ready for his return. Lord, it can happen at any moment according to your word. May we be ready. May we be prepared when we hear the trumpet sound or when we breathe our last breath on this earth. So Lord, help us to be watchful for your return, living in a way that honors and glorifies you. And Lord, I do ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey folks, listen, thank you for taking time with us today. I do want to share with you a little bit more about what we're going to be doing this week. And as we head into next week, I mentioned that today was our first message in the series that I titled The Hope of His Return. And, you know, we were looking at the promise that the Lord gave us out of John chapter 14. So this week, you know, as far as your Bible reading, I want you to spend some time in Matthew's Gospel chapter 24. That's Matthew's Gospel chapter 24. And then next week when we come together, we're going to look at a message that I titled Understanding the Second Coming of Christ. You know, signs of the times is what we're going to look at out of Matthew chapter 24, verses specifically 3 through 14. We're going to discuss the signs leading up to the second coming and how they fulfill biblical prophecy. I hope and trust and pray that you will join us. And as always, I want to extend to you a personal invitation to join us at Central Baptist Church, located in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. We're located at 1715 Highway 68 North. We'd love for you to come worship with us. Our service starts at 10:45 with other discipleship opportunities on Sundays as well as throughout the week. And if you have any questions, you can look us up on our website. You can give us a call, send us an email. However possible, you can contact us, and we'll try to get your questions answered. So I would certainly love to see you worship with us in spirit and in truth this coming Sunday at Central Baptist Church. Have a great week. May God bless you in an incredible way, and may he use you for his kingdom. God bless. Thank you.